Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was a kid in junior high, I was easily bored. And sometimes I'd get in trouble because I would find ways to entertain myself during class time. And that happened one day. I was in seventh grade in speech class, and we were taking a quiz. I'd finished the quiz, and I kind of leaned over and made some kind of smart comment to the girl across the aisle. Well, the teacher saw that, came and got me, took me out in the hall, and accused me of cheating. Well, he asked me, actually. I said, no, I wasn't cheating. I was just talking when I shouldn't have been. I'm sorry. Well, he begrudgingly accepted my excuse and sent me back into the class with a reprimand, only to turn up later in the day and pull me out of another class into a hallway. I was terrified. And he said, I need to know if you've ever cheated in my class. Well, I'm an honest person. I also didn't cheat, but now and then I might have checked an answer sometimes. I wasn't sure. I didn't think I had, so I said, I don't know. He said, well, I'm going to give you a bad grade in conduct. And yes, maybe some of you remember that. We did have grades in conduct back then, long time ago. Well, I fretted and stewed about that for a while, and then I forgot about it. And then my report card came for that semester or quarter, whatever it was. And there it was. I had an F in conduct. Oh my gosh. I was mortified. What was I going to tell my parents? So I took the report card. You had to bring them home to your parents, and there would have been trouble if I hadn't done that. And I always walked home from school. And the church that I attended, Granite Falls Lutheran, was right there. And we had a new pastor, a young man. And I thought, maybe I'll stop by and talk to him. Any port in a storm. So that's what I did. I went into the church. I went to the big wooden office door, and I knocked. And he was there. Oh my gosh. So I came in, and I just spilled the whole beans, told him the whole story. And he listened very thoughtfully and caring, and didn't really say too much. He just took it all in and accepted me where I was. And then he said, Karin, let's pray. I thought, okay. And he bowed his head and I bowed mine, and he prayed out loud for me. Now, never before in my life had anybody ever done that. It was so moving. It was just a caring, comforting prayer, asking for God's help going forward. And he said amen and wished me well and sent me on my way. Well, it's interesting. I don't even remember what happened when I got home. It wasn't a crisis. I suppose I explained it, and my parents, felt like I'd suffered enough, whatever it is. But I will never forget a pastor praying for me. It was so moving. And it turned out that wasn't the last time he prayed for me. When I went into his office to get ready for confirmation, he prayed for me at the time of graduation. And several years later, I was serving as a pastor. I think it was about my third call. And there was it was a rough spot. There were people in that parish who didn't think they ought to have a woman senior pastor. And he had heard about that and was coming through town, and he came to my house, visited with me, talked to me, and what? Prayed for me. I felt so loved and blessed to hear him pray for me one more time. Today, you and I are invited to feel loved and blessed by hearing Jesus pray for us. He's not just praying for his disciples here. Did you hear that? But for all who follow him, even to this day. In this passage, in John, we witness Jesus actually praying for you and me. Now, I'm sure that most of us have prayed for others. On Sunday in this church, or this week, we remember lift up our graduates and their families. We know that those parents of graduates, they've been praying for them for 18 years. Parents pray for their kids, the grandparents pray for their grandkids. We pray for our people, say, will you pray for me? And we do that. My husband Joe's mother prayed for him every day of his life up until she died in her 90s. So what does this mean for Jesus? What's he praying about for us? Well, the main point of Jesus' prayer is asking for protection. Jesus wants to keep us safe and secure, and that sounds good to me. It's difficult and it's painful in our world. When I look at my news feed on my phone every day, I'm confronted with this bad news of death and destruction and disease and crime, and our hearts ache for those people in India right now, just to mention one place, suffering from the virus so terribly. And day after day, there's another terrible shooting in our country and around the world. We know that pain and struggle are part of our daily lives, relationships, jobs, families. We're all challenged, inner, outer struggles. And we know that tragedies and trials await us. We may worry about that. They are around the corner for all of us. There's an amusing quote, but it's also true. It says, live each day as if it's your last. One of these days you'll be right. It's hard sometimes to live that way with all the struggles of life. And I welcome Jesus calling on God to protect me. I think it would be great, actually, if Jesus would just take a magic wand and wave it over us and seal us off from painful parts of life. But let's be clear. Jesus does not pray that we'll be kept safe and secure in the way we think of safety and security. We hear caring and affection in Jesus' voice as we read this prayer, but we hear nothing of a magic wand or an invisible shield to stave off death and trouble. Instead, Jesus asks that God would not take us out of the world, but instead, while we're in the world, protect us from evil. Instead of offering us a guarantee of safety, Jesus gives us a promise of protection. In this prayer before, remember, he faces his own humiliation and death. There are three important promises and gifts for protection, we can add that, for which Jesus asks his Father, and that God gives us when we pray. Remember, ask and it shall be given. Jesus' prayers were answered for himself and his disciples. They were not kept safe from harm, we know that, but they were secure in God's love through all of what they went through. I see that there are three basic things that Jesus asks for in this prayer, like I said, that keep us secure in God's love. And the answers that come to those prayers, they're prayers for unity, joy, and truth. And the first thing that Jesus prays, and he comes back to that at the end, is that we'll all be made one, unified. Help your children stick together in this tough world, God, he says. God, give each of us the gifts we need in order to be there for each other, but across the barriers that keep us apart. No matter how big the trial, how tough the enemy, how sad the tragedy, how huge the separation, or how big the challenge, God, come to us in the Spirit and make us one. That's the prayer Jesus is praying. Now we know that all kinds of sinful, evil-induced things keep us apart. We could make a list: fear, pride, self-centeredness, desire to control. God's answer to this, when we pray, is to give us the fruits of the Spirit, they're called. Not to change the trouble we're in, but in order to get through it, to stay one together. He gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these, there's no barrier strong enough to prevail. So our true protection comes from God's help in staying together as a human family. That's what gets us through. Bind us together, God, and we'll be strong. Through God's Spirit, evil is overcome when the Spirit's gifts come to us and we're able to cross or break down those barriers, and there's so many in our world, and show love and respect for all. This is the unity for which Jesus prayed, and this is the gift that is given. That's a wonderful gift, but that's not all. Did you hear that second one I mentioned? It's the same thing that Pastor Jeff talked about last week. Joy. Jesus says, he wants God to bring God's joy to fullness in us. The name of our church is Spirit of Joy. But as Jeff pointed out last week, it's not just being happy and comfortable and getting what we want. That's not what joy means, not Jesus' joy. A friend of mine for a long time had a band that was called the Happy Day Fun Band. Isn't that a great name? But that's not what God has for us, Happy Day Fun. It's the kind of joy that takes us through the worst of times and gives us hope and love. It's the kind of joy that came into my life gradually and in many ways when I was devastated by the sudden death of my father when I was 21, just before my senior year of college. And my brothers and sisters were ages 23, 17, 13, and 11. The world as I knew it that day ended for me. But life did become good again, joyful again, loving again, through the Spirit of God. I received deep joy as I recovered from that loss, little by little. I received God's love and resurrection hope so many ways, through so many people. It's a joy that lasts even now. It's a joy that came from finding out that even death could not stop God's love from getting to me and through me. And that's why I'm standing here today. This is quite a prayer, isn't it? Unity, joy, and the Spirit to make that happen, even in the midst of the worst possible things. And even though Jesus doesn't pray for a guarantee of protection from bad things, there's a guarantee that the gifts for which he prayed will be there. God's power and strength and love will never fail us. Whenever we ask, it will be given. Whenever we open ourselves to receive what God has for us, God's gifts will follow. This kind of prayer is always answered. But there was one more gift I mentioned for which Jesus prayed in that last prayer. So far we have unity and joy. Now Jesus asked that his Father would help these friends of his and all who seek him to live in truth. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? He wants us to be set apart, sanctified, and made holy so we can live in truth and honesty about what matters in life. Think about it. The truth that you, he says in his prayer, Heavenly Father, are the only one worth living for. Jesus says, sanctify them in this truth. Your word is truth. Now, this is kind of fancy word, sanctify, but they tell us something very simple and deeply important. The only truth of life that matters is that God is good and God is in charge. God is good and God is in charge. This is the truth we're set aside, sanctified to live in. The promise of protection is that each one is dedicated for God's purposes, for goodness and love. I remember admiring the shoes of my 5-year-old neighbor boy and tying them again for the umpteenth time. They kept getting untied. They were kind of new shoes, and I said, these are really nice. And he says, my mom says, they're my school shoes. Set apart, that's what it means, sanctified. You and me, set apart for good purpose, for God's goodness, God's love, always trusting that God's love is our protection, love stronger than any hardship or trouble. This is the truth that matters. Each day we can remember Jesus' prayer for us and God's promises to us, and that God has a purpose and meaning for us far beyond anything we can ask or imagine. And when we pray, each day, your will be done in my life, this, in truth, will happen for us and through us. Today we have shared the privilege of listening in on an ancient prayer that Jesus prayed for us personally, for us all together. Jesus trusted that God was his stronghold and a sure defense, and he did not have any reason to be afraid. He prayed the same for us, to be protected in this difficult world, not by the certainty of safety, but by the certainty of God's presence and love. And when we trust God, the Spirit will bring us together in unity. We'll be given a deep joy that goes beyond happy and comforted and getting what we think we want. And Jesus' prayers will be answered, and you and I will be given the help we need to live God's dream for us, trusting the truth of God's power to help us live in God's grace and love every day. Amen.